Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, The Shepherd and His Flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Can I add my welcome to Heather's particular welcome if you are visiting this morning? Apparently we have 3 spare seats in church this morning. So we are starting an evening service this evening. And if anybody would like to start coming regularly in the evening, there is space, going to be space there. But it's wonderful to see you. My name is Simon Kirby. I'm the vicar here. I do hope you had a good Christmas. It's wonderful to be back. I know we've only been away for a week, but it's wonderful to be back and be part of our church family here. Someone said to me about, thank you, I do need to thank all those who are involved in making our Christmas services such wonderful times. Someone said to me this last week, apparently the word on the street is that our carol services were spirit-filled and very powerful. That came from someone who wasn't here, from someone else, and that's the word on the street. I don't know which street that's the word on, but it's a nice word to have about the carol services. I hope you've had a very good start to 2015. I like this image that a friend of mine put up on Facebook. Next slide, please. Oh, it's gone. This image that put up on Facebook. There we go. 2015, here I come. I don't know if you're feeling like that this morning, ready for 2015 and all that it's got to bring. I love it as an image. I'm launching this morning a series called The Flourishing Life. And as we head into 2015, I want us to flourish. I want us to flourish. But before I speak about the flourishing life, I do feel I need to say something about the events that have unfolded in France over the last few days. Now, like many of you, I've been horrified by the events that have taken place. The reality is that our world has horrific events taking place every day. And actually, what's not been as reported as widely this week is that 2,000 children and women were killed in northern Nigeria this last week. But perhaps it's been given more attention to Paris because it's our neighbour, it's a Western capital, it's closer to home, and certainly the media have had greater access to it. This morning I do want to talk about how as a church we flourish. How do we live abundant lives individually and as a community? How do we flourish? And I'm going to be talking from John 10:10, which is a very well-known verse. It's one of our, many of us would have it in our top 10 favorite verses, where Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. A+ use it as their live life to the max. John's book, Life to the Max, has John 10:10 on it. It's one of my favorite verses. It's a great verse. But you know what the whole verse says, John 10:10? Could I have the whole verse up, please? The whole verse says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, there's a part of our favourite verse that we skate over. And that's the part that the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. And I do believe we are in a world where there is a thief who is seeking to steal, kill and destroy. Now I'm not associating that thief with any religion or any country, but there is a thief at work in our world. He wants to break up families. He wants people to be selfish individuals. He wants people to be lonely, to be broken, to be addicted, to be harming themselves and others. And ultimately, the thief wants to destroy life. That is what the thief wants to do. And that, my friends, is why our message that Jesus came to bring life in all of its fullness is so, so important. What's our response to the world? What's our response to what's going on around us? What should be our response every day? Our response should be this. In the words of John Wimber, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to make sure the main thing is the main thing. What is the main thing? The main thing is Jesus. Jesus is the main thing. I've said before, if you come to COGS, I'm going to talk about Jesus. He is why I do what I do. And you may get bored of me talking about Jesus. I hope you don't. But I'm going to talk about Jesus. He is the main thing. He is the one who has come to give us life in abundance, in all its fullness. He's the reason we're here. Now, one of the bits of this job, this vocation that you don't see, and I'm glad you don't see very often, is one of the things that I do is take funerals. It's a privilege to be alongside families at that time, to try and bring them God's comfort in their distress, to be there with them. It's also a challenge, particularly if I don't know the family and I don't know the person at all. And that's part of what you have to do as a Church of England vicar. You take funerals for people you don't know. So I'll meet with the family beforehand. I'll ask some questions. And in the course of my conversation with them, one of the questions I'll ask is, did they have a faith? Did they have a faith? And often the reply I'll get is, oh yes, C of E. And at that point I'm like, oh. Now if you don't know what C of E is short for, that's Church of England. And I think, oh. And I unpack it a bit more and we talk a bit further. But the truth is, if your faith is in the C of E. I'm a vicar and I'm sorry you're in trouble. If your faith is in any church, if your faith is in COGS, and I love COGS, I'll have been vicar here 2 years next week, and I thank God still for bringing me here. I thank God for what he's doing. I love it here. But if my faith or your faith becomes about COGS, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Our faith has to be in Jesus. It can't be in our strength. It can't be in our family. It can't be in our gifts, our skills, our ministries, our work, our jobs, our wealth. It's in Jesus. He is the one who has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Now, last week, Rich spoke. I didn't know what Rich was going to speak on. I thought I'd better listen in case there was any heresy. There was a bit, but you know, we'll I'll tell you about that later, Richard. But I loved what he said, and he didn't know what I was going to say this week, but it was great because it was where I was going. And I prepared most of my sermon, and then I listened to what he said, and I loved, he was talking about the cost of following Jesus. And there is a cost. It is a challenge. He asked the question, are we willing to give up everything? Are we willing to set our eyes on Jesus, the prize, the author and perfecter of our faith? Are we really willing to do it? And he looked at the cost. And while Rich talked about the cost, and I do want to endorse everything he said, because it was a really good challenge. But while he talked about the cost, At the same time, as we embrace discipleship, as we embrace what it means to follow Jesus, I believe we do discover life and life to the full. And that's what I want us to discover as a church. And it's a silly question, really, as do you want a full life? Do you want an abundant life? I can't imagine many of us say, oh, no, thanks, I don't. I want a very unfull, unabundant, unhappy life. We all want a full, abundant life. The word that's used in this passage in John, the Greek word is parousos, and it means exceeding, going beyond, abundant, full. Jesus said, I have come that they may have an exceeding, a going beyond, an abundant, a full life. That's what Jesus says in this passage as the Good Shepherd. He has come that we might have those things. And I think it's that we want that. I can't imagine any of us wouldn't want a full, abundant life. D.A. Carson, in his commentary on this passage, says, this is a proverbial way of insisting that there's only one means of receiving eternal life, only one source of knowledge of God, only one fount of spiritual nourishment, only one basis for spiritual security, Jesus alone. And he goes on to say that this is life at its scarcely imagined best. Life to be lived. Life to be lived. It's scarcely imagined best. Now, I don't know what your hopes are for 2015, whether you really are charging in or whether actually you're facing some challenges and you're not looking forward to the year. But Jesus' promise is, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Towards the end of last year, I was reflecting on what's the point of church? Something vicars reflect on every now and again. Well, what's the point of church? Why do we do what we do? What are we here for? Why are we gathering? What's it all about? And particularly as well, specifically, I started to think, what do I want our reputation at COGS to be? How do I want us to be known in Whitney and beyond? What do I want people to say about COGS? And through a process of conversation and prayer, the word that came through was flourish. Hence this season, the flourishing life. Flourish. Now, the definition of flourish is of a living organism to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly congenial environment. And synonyms are grow, thrive, prosper, develop, burgeon, increase, multiply, proliferate. That's what it means to flourish. And as I got that word, I thought, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want for you. For every person, I want you to flourish. It's what I want for me. It's what I want for my family. It's what I want for the people of Whitney. I want them to flourish. I want people to flourish. And we need to create this congenial environment where flourishing can take place. And I think that there are a number of things, a number of values that I want to unpack over the next few months, over this term, that I believe will help us to flourish. I believe they're values that I hold and that I believe will help us as a church to flourish. I'm not going to explain them at all now. I'm just going to put them up as words that over the next few weeks I'm going to expand further. But I believe that if we're going to lead the flourishing life, we will be a people who worship, who pursue, who belong, who disciple, who go, and who enable. Who worship, who pursue, who belong, who disciple, who go, and who enable. And I'm going to be looking further over the next few months at what I mean by those things. But to start with, before we get into any of those, if we want to have an abundant life, if we want to live life to the full, we need to go back to that passage in John and see some of the other things that Jesus says. Because in John 10, verse 3, he says, listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They follow him because they know his voice. The image of sheep and shepherd is one that is used many times in the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament. It would be a common theme. It would be something that people would be familiar with. They would know what this meant. And Jesus says about the sheep, and there's two things we're going to notice about this passage. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. They recognize the voice of the shepherd. The British boxer, some of you may have heard of George Groves, British boxer. He was recently asked how he was able to hear his trainer's instructions over the thousands of screaming fans while he was fighting in the ring. And Groves said that when you only hear one voice in the gym all day, every day, it doesn't matter how many people are shouting at you, it's still the only voice you can hear. And there's a wonderful thing in that, because we've all got lots of people shouting at us, lots of distractions, lots of pressures shouting at us, lots of things going on. How do we make sure we are hearing the shepherd's voice in all of that so that our lives may flourish? And I have to say, and call me old school about this, but God's primary way of speaking to us is through his Bible. It's his primary way of speaking to us. And I would really encourage you to read your Bible every day. Every day. I'm not saying read the Bible in a year. Some of us will do that, may do that. But every day, just read some scripture. Read some of the Bible, because it's the primary way that God speaks to us. There are some fantastic resources out there now. Fantastic resources. These are a couple of internet resources. Holy Trinity Brompton are doing a Bible in a year, in 1 year. You can get an email every day, and that is the Bible in a year. It gives you three passages, some commentary. But there's the Bible Gateway website. It's a website I use a lot. A brilliant website. It has reading plans. And some of those plans are to read Proverbs over the course of a month, or to have just a few verses every day. And then if you're not into computers, there are Bible reading notes, and many of us I know use those as well. But I would just really encourage you to read the Bible every day if you want to hear the voice of God. And maybe that's something at the start of the year to think about again. Because the big question is, are we actually listening for the voice of God? Are we listening for what God is wanting to say to us? Because he does speak. He speaks in all sorts of ways, but he wants to speak to us. But the second big question is, when you hear the voice of God, do you follow? And this really ties in with what Rich was saying last week. When he calls you, do you follow, or do you go, oh, later, or not now, God, I'm busy? Notice the difference between shepherds here and shepherds in the Middle East in Jesus' time. If you watch Countryfile, now that's not a line I would have said in North London, but if you watch Countryfile, things have changed in the last couple of years. You see, we're used to seeing shepherds chasing the sheep with sheepdogs and coming behind them and chivying them into wherever they're meant to be going. But what the passage there says, verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. In the Middle East, the shepherd led the sheep. They followed him because they knew his voice. And it's a question, do we follow? When the shepherd calls us, when he says, I want you to do this, do we follow? One of the things I'm trying to do the Bible in a year, the Holy Trinity Brompton one, and getting the emails. And one of the things Nikki Gumbel brought out at the beginning last week was about blessings and battles. That we all face blessings and battles. And the challenge is, are we hearing the voice of God when we're in the blessings and responding appropriately with thanks and gratitude? And when we're in the battles, when it's harder, when things are coming against us? And Nikki Gumbel pointed out that sometimes we're in this place of blessing. Sometimes, and we know we're just in a great place of blessing. Sometimes we're in a place of battle, and actually it's really tough. More often, both are going on at the same time. You know, we've got some things that are huge blessings, And at the same time, we've got some battles that we're trying to win. But are we in this place of blessing and battle and going forward, following the shepherd as he calls us forward and calls us on? And then in that place of blessing, are we blessing others? I want to finish by just sharing. I think this whole thing of Jesus coming as life, to give us life and abundant life, is so important because it's so transformational. It changes lives and it gives hope. And some of you will remember at one of our celebrations last year, Paul Cowley came and spoke. Paul, a friend of mine who I trained for ordination with, he was given an MBE last year for his work with ex-offenders. And his story and the church he now leads witnesses to this transformational life. He's in his late 50s now, in case you don't know any of his background. He was, when he was 15, he was expelled from school. He was made homeless at the same time. He ended up in a squat. He got into to crime. He ended up in a young offenders institute. He left that and joined the army, and the army was very much his salvation. He served in the army for 16 years, rose to staff sergeant, did 3 tours in Northern Ireland, served in the Falklands, and fought on the army boxing team. He, after leaving, he became a fitness trainer and ended up running one of the top fitness clubs in London. And while he was there, he was persuaded, because it was in Knightsbridge, to go along to Holy Trinity Brompton. And in 1994, he says this: "I came to Christ. God did a real number on me." The change came halfway through the Alpha course, and he says, "I remember thinking, if all this stuff is true, I can change. I can be the person I want to be, a man of character, strength and integrity, a good husband, a good father. I remember thinking, God, if you can do all that, I'm up for it." I finished the course and things started to change. He went on to become involved with their work in prisons. He set up care for ex-offenders. And actually, if we can go back to that image, it was Paul's Facebook that he'd put this on. And I thought, yeah. And underneath, I loved it, he wrote, "Reoffending rates, get ready. I'm coming for you with caring for ex-offenders this year." And I love it because his life has been transformed and he is living abundantly to transform the lives of others. He's not holding that blessing to himself, but he's sharing it and making a difference and a change. That's a life that's been transformed. It's a life that is flourishing. It's a life that's possible because our good shepherd laid down his life for us. It's how the passage finishes. The good shepherd came and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's done that. That's what we remember in this meal. That's why we take this meal together regularly, to remember the sacrifice of love that the shepherd has done for us, that we might live, that we might have abundant life, a flourishing life. So my prayer for you is that this year your life would flourish, our life would flourish, because I believe as we flourish as individuals, this church will continue to flourish and impact beyond and take this message of abundant life and hope to others. Please stand with me as I pray for us. Now, I'm not going to ask all those who would like an abundant life to come to the front, because I'd be really disappointed if anybody was still sitting down at that point or where they were. Rather, I'm going to pray for all of us that we might really experience life and life in all of its fullness this year. Whether we're facing blessings or battles or both at the same time, that we might know the fullness of God's love, that our lives might flourish. Lord God, you know every single one of us. You know everything about us. You know our fears. You know our joys. You know what this year has in store for us. You know the blessings and the battles that are ahead. And I pray that you would come now by your Spirit and meet with us again. Pour your Spirit out as you have been doing already. You are here. Pour your Spirit out. Remind us of your love for us that took you to the cross for every single one of us. Let us hear your voice this year. Speak to us. Speak to us now. And I just sense that for some, you're feeling that the love of God is not something you're really knowing or experiencing at the moment. Maybe it's because the battles have got so intense and God has felt a little bit distant in it all. And I just want to pray particularly for you that this year you would have life, abundant life, full life, exceeding life in the knowledge and love of Christ. So Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who is feeling particularly distant from you, feeling distant from your love. I pray you would come now and reassure them of your love. Give them a peace that they haven't experienced for a while. Give them a hope. Give them a vision. Refresh them, Lord. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let that be our experience this year, Lord, I pray. Amen.